turn, if you would, to Psalms 116. I'm going to follow on in Psalms as the other brother did. And Psalms 116. This psalm starts off in verse number 1 with a great phrase. When you read this, you think, man, this psalmist has got it all together. Brother, he has got it made and he has got it right. Well, I say amen to that. But he starts off, the first phrase is, I love the Lord. I love the Lord. And we think, man, this is a spiritual man that would say that I love the Lord. Do you love the Lord this morning? I mean, would you say, well, do you love the Lord? Amen. I hope you love him better than that. But he's making the statement, I love the Lord. And we think, boy, this feller has got it. But then he goes on to say the reason why. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. Now the psalmist is saying I love him, but I love him for a reason. Can I say to you this morning, you said to me that you love the Lord. But you love him for a reason, and that reason is because he first loved us. The Bible says, sure in his love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the perpetuation of our sins. He says over again in the same chapter, in 1 John, in chapter 4, verse number 19, he goes on to say, we love him because he first loved us. We love God today because of what God has done for us. I remember, I don't know how many of you know Dr. Billy Martin, but Dr. Billy Martin was preaching a meeting, and I happened to be there, and he made a statement that I have never, ever forgotten. He was talking about the fact how that love transcends. Love comes from above, and it works its way down. And I'm a grandfather. I've got grandchildren, and I'm going to tell you, when they called them grand, they named them right. Say amen. They are. Somebody said, I've got great-grandchildren. Well, I think my grandchildren are great. Amen? I've got grandchildren. And I love them. I love them. But if, you know, and I've got pictures on my phone. I've got pictures in my wallet of my grandchildren. And if you drop the hat, bless God, I'll show you some pictures. But I'll tell you what, I'll guarantee you can go to my grandchildren and they ain't going to pull a picture of their grandpa out. You ever seen one pull out and say, let me show you, on the elevator, let me show you a picture of my grandma. That don't happen, but how many times let me show a picture of my grandson or my granddaughter? I'm saying we love the Lord because he has loved us. He has done something for us. And I'll tell you, friends, I don't know about you, but I've never gotten over what God did for me. I've never gotten over what, in just a few weeks, In the month of September, along about the second or third Sunday in September, I'm going to celebrate my 42nd spiritual birthday. In 1970, in September, in the middle of the month, God saved my soul on a Sunday night. And I've never been the same. And you've never been the same if God really saved your soul. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things pass away, and behold, all things are become new. And I tell you, Jesus makes a difference. If you made a profession, if you prayed a prayer, if you got on the altar, you bawled and squalled, and you got up the same way you got down, friends, you didn't meet Jesus. That's just a matter of a fact. God changes those that he comes in contact with. And so we love him. Notice we go on. He said, the sorrows of hell compassed me. And the pains of sorrows of death, pardon me, compassed me. The pains of hell got hold upon my soul. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. I appreciate the fact this morning that folks have been up here calling upon the name of the Lord in times of distress, in times of sorrow, in times of pain, in times of discouragement. I want to tell you, there's no better place to go than the Lord Jesus Christ. He's got what we need, amen. I called upon the name of the Lord. I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord. And I say amen right there. Gracious in the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low and he helped me. Oh, listen, I like what the psalmist says. I was in the horrible pit, in the miry pit, but he lifted me out when I couldn't help myself. Thank God Jesus came by. Well, isn't it good that day that Jesus passed by your way and my way and lifted us up, done for us those things we could not do for ourselves. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I'm going to stop reading there. And I'm going to try, if you would, look back at verse number 8. And I want to see about 9 things from this, but we're just going to look at each one of them. There's 3 things, but we can refer to about 9 different things out of this. The psalmist here is saying, he said, "Thou," and I want to read this, and please, I'm not trying to do injustice to the Word of God, but I'm trying to give it what I think the Bible is saying here. "Thou hast delivered my soul from death." He's delivered our soul from death. Can I say to you, he has delivered our eyes from tears. He has delivered our feet from falling. 3 things he's delivered us from. It speaks of the past. Thank God, we were once under the penalty of sin. The wage of sin is death. We were all condemned to die. I met the brother in the church a little while ago. He asked me how I was doing. I said, "Better than I deserve." He said, "Me too. We all ought to be in hell." And friends, the truth is, we all should be screaming today in the fires of hell. But the grace of God, the love of God, has given us salvation. He has delivered my soul from death. That's the past. Mine eyes from tears. That's the present. My feet from falling is the present. We can look at 9. And he says, "I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living." That's the future. Do you understand today, friends, that this thing called salvation isn't a one-time deal? It isn't a one-shot thing. And I don't mean you get saved over and over again. I'm not talking about that. But you get saved by the grace of God. But friend, that's not the end of salvation. That's the beginning of salvation. That is not the utopia. That's the birth, amen. There's some growing got to take place. There's some changes that's got to be made. There's some things that's going to take place in our life. He doesn't just save us and say, "Now you're saved." That's it. But thank God, he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He goes with us day after day, hour after hour. He is with us. He never leaves us or forsakes us. Thank God for the truth of that. So there's a past, there's a present, and there's a future. He's delivered my soul from death. That speaks of life. I once was condemned to die, but now my Bible tells me that I have everlasting life. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Is that what the Scripture says? Amen. Shall never die. I've been delivered. You've been delivered as a child of God. If you know Christ, you have been delivered from death. He said, "Mine eyes from tears." In other words, that tears comes mostly from sorrow. We see tears of joy, but he's not talking about a joyous time. He's talking about mine eyes from tears, the tears of sorrow. I'm glad, thank God, that the guilt is gone now. Listen, the devil can remind me, and he does you, I'm sure, every once in a while. I don't know how he does in your life, but every once in a while he'll come by, brother, and say, "You remember when? You remember when?" He tries to dig our past up. He tries to unearth that thing every once in a while. He said, "You remember that?" Oh, listen, that's true. But can I tell you, I did do some things. I have done things in my life that I'm not proud of. I'm not pleased with. God was not pleased with. But I want to tell you, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ has cleansed them all. They're gone. All the devils in hell can't find them. God don't even remember the day. They're gone, amen. I love that old song. Our choir sings it. It starts out and said, "I remember the day when I was bent low in the burden of sin and shame. Then Jesus came by and rescued me, and lifted me, and he gave me a brand new life." Something like that. But it goes on and say, the chorus of it is, "What sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. In the book of life, they've all been cast out." Hallelujah. I'm saying, friends, that God has forgotten our sins. They're not under the blood. They're not covered by the blood. They've been washed away by the blood. Amen. Hallelujah. Guilt is gone. I've been a pastor now for 20-some years, 22 years, that God's allowed me to pastor two different churches. Pastored one for four, and I'm going on my 18th year at the church I'm at now. Y'all didn't think I was but 20, I know. But for 22 years almost, I've been in pastor, and I've worked, and I've watched people that fail. I've watched Christians that fell into sin. They got into sin and would come back to God and get right with God. And I want to tell you, God, when I believe when a sinner comes or a Christian comes, anybody comes to God and they begin to plead the blood, I want to tell you, God cleanses them and God washes them. God makes them whole. Yeah. But I want to tell you, I have seen those same people that could not forgive themselves. Yeah. They went through the entire time of their life. They went through the guilt and everything. But I want to tell you, if God can forget it, why can't you forget it? Amen. If God's willing to forgive it, you forgive it. Let it go. But he says here, I've got joy now. I once had sorrow. My life was once filled with sorrow. But the psalmist says, but now I've got joy. Amen. My eyes have been delivered from tears. And then he said, my feet from falling. Oh, that speaks of defeat. And I will tell you, and defeat and discouragement. Can I say today, if I was the devil, and if you'll ask him at Antioch Baptist Church, some of them think I am. But if I was the devil, and I could have only one tool, Brother Frank, it'd be discouragement.
You're right, brother.
If I could only have discouragement as a tool to fight against the people of God, that would be all it would take to cause them to lose their joy, to cause them to lose their victory. If I could just get them discouraged, if I could get them down and out and think that God don't love them anymore, that God doesn't care anymore, that God's just thrown them out to the wolves and say, where is your God now? Where's he at now? If I was the devil, that's the only one I'd use. But I'm glad, thank God, that As the brother said, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I'm glad to be victory. We don't have to be victims. We don't have to be victims. We can be victors in Christ. Bible says, by the way, do you understand? The Bible says we are more than conquerors. A conqueror is one that goes into defeats. I don't have to fight the battle, bless God. He's already fought the battle and gave me the victory, amen. Gave you the victory. He's given us life. He's given us joy. He's given us victory. But not only that, let's look and see something else. He has delivered my soul from death. That speaks of the penalty of sin. Death is looming. Listen, death, he's not talking about just that physical death. I had a funeral yesterday in my church. He's not talking about that physical death. Not that type of death I believe is referring to right here. But the death of the soul. There's a second death. Do you understand that? There's a second death that the Bible talks about in the book of the Revelation. He said they were cast into the lake of fire. And he said this is the second death. I'm glad that death has no power over the child of God. To those that have been washed in the blood, those that have been cleansed by the blood, those that have been kept by the power of God, I want to tell you, death has no power over them. That second death has no hold whatsoever. Friends, God, the devil can never get us out of the hands of God. Hallelujah for that. You say, preacher, you believe in security? With every ounce of this 196 pounds, I believe in eternal security. I believe God's able to keep what he saves. Aren't you? We're free from the penalty of sin. We're also free from the sorrow of sin. The sorrow of sin, as I've said, he gives us joy. Where guilt used to be, there is now joy. The sorrow is gone. I don't have to wallow and mire in the things of the past. I'm glad it's gone. It's gone. Hallelujah, it's gone. And then I'm going to move, and I'm going to be done in just a moment. I'm going to give somebody else plenty of time. I like this last one. My feet from falling. My feet from falling. That's the snare of sin. Not only the penalty of sin, the sorrow of sin, but the snare of sin. Friends, let's be honest today. We've seen a lot of great men fall lately. And in the last few years, I've seen some great men, men that I admired, men that I loved, and I've seen them fall. You say, preacher, did God fail? No, no, no. God did not fall. They did not fail. God did not let them down. The Bible tells me that there's no temptation taking you but such as is common to a man. I get sick and tired of these people saying, well, man, I ain't nobody ever been through what I've been through. Well, that's contrary to the Word of God. God says my temptations are just common to man. Everybody faces them. Don't put yourself up on a pedestal and say, I'm so close to God that nobody else ain't ever gone through this before. Because, honey, you're just lying to yourself. I'm telling you, friends, we face all these things and they come our way. But God is faithful. We've already talked about that. God is faithful. God is faithful. He never fails. With every temptation, He makes a way of escape. The problem is, they don't take the way of escape. They don't take. They don't run. They don't run and flee from it as they should. But I want to tell you, God protects us from the snares of sin. The snares of sin. There's a verse I love over in the book of Jude. And it says, now unto him that is able to keep you and present you, this next word blows my little old pea brain, faultless before him. Present us faultless. Now you say, preacher, you got some faults. Yeah, I do. You do too. Amen. We've all got them. We've all got them. But the Bible says He's going to present us faultless one day. It hit me the other day. I'd preached on that verse several times or talked about that verse in messages. But it hit me one day. Just who the inspector is. Who's the one that's doing the examination that's not going to find any fault? Hey, friends, it ain't the deacon board. Amen. Hello. Hey, it ain't your fellow preachers that's doing the inspection. Hey, it ain't your brothers and sisters in Christ that's doing the inspection. Who's doing the inspection? God the Father, the most holy, righteous one that has ever been. He's the one that is inspecting us. And He says, I find no fault in Him. That's what Pilate said concerning the Lord. And I will tell you, that's what we're going to be presented before God one day. The master inspector himself is going to look and say, I find no fault. You say, preacher, you're not that good. No, I'm not, but Jesus is. Yeah. That's how strong and powerful the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is. He is going to. We're going to be presented before Him faultless. Now, I used to do construction work. My dad built houses when I was a young man, and he built houses all over Alamance County, Chatham, and Caswell. He built houses everywhere. Very successful at it, and I'd work with him during the summertime. Well, that was a blessing. I'd rather be out playing. And he had me hauling 2x4s. Amen. Carrying 2x10s. Had me doing all that stuff. And I'd rather be at home playing. I mean, we didn't have Xbox. Never heard of Xbox. Didn't hardly know what television was. I mean, we went outside and played. I got outside and when I'd get home, I'd go out and play till it got so dark I couldn't come in. Didn't know what it was to sit inside the house in air conditioning. Didn't have none of that. But Daddy made me work every day. I had to work during the summer with him. And then when I got out of school, I worked with him full time for a while. And I can build a house. I thank the Lord that I can do that. I know how to build one. But you know, I'd go in somebody's house and they'd say, man, this they done a good job on this house. I'd go in somebody where somebody else had built and said, man, look what a good job it did. And I'd look, there'd be moldings that wouldn't fit. Nobody else wouldn't see it. But I knew what to look for. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying I'm smart. I'm dumb as a box of rocks. Stick of wood's got more sense than I got. But I'm saying I knew what to look for. It might look good to everybody else, but somebody knows the business can see it. I've painted a few vehicles. And somebody comes and says, man, that's a good job. And then somebody that paints come along, he'll tell me all the mistakes I made. What a blessing. But listen, what am I saying? I'm saying the master inspector, God Himself, is going to look at the children of God, those that have been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, have been redeemed unto God. The master inspector Himself is going to look and He says, He's faultless. He's faultless. He's faultless. Thank God for the preservation of God. Thank God for the care of God that is willing to get us through, not in just life only, but thank God in the life to come. When I stand before Him, God's going to look and say, He's all right. Amen. He's all right. Everybody else can find their faults. Everybody else can have their criticisms. But I want to tell you, I'm glad God has already said He's all right. Isn't God good today? Isn't salvation a wonderful thing? Listen, friends, that's why David said, upon Him only, or therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. Friends, I haven't found a need or a reason to go anywhere else. He satisfied my every longing and my every need. And I can say, as that psalmist said, I love the Lord. Amen. I'm done. Brother Frank.